Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Operator, could you help me place this call?
Very nice.
Thank you.
Today, we are going to talk about an operator, in a way, a small-time operator, in a way, a big-time operator. Depending on how you look at it,
yep.
It's an operating system for a portable set of portable devices from Apple called iOS 5.
You may have heard of it. I know some of you have because you've written in to ask us to talk about it a lot.
Yes, yes.
So iOS 5, the as of the recording of this podcast, latest generation of Apple's mobile operating system for devices such as the iPhone, the iPod Touch, and the iPad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There are a lot of changes in this operating system.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably have to do one on the latest generation of Android operating systems coming up for Ice Cream Sandwich before you write in and say
Ice Cream Sandwich.
I know, you know, we record this sort of right before lunch, you know, then like an hour and a half before lunchtime.
Yeah, and I didn't have breakfast either, so.
Yeah, so talking about iOS 5 doesn't make me hungry, but we might have to do something about Ice Cream Sandwich when it comes up.
We'll have to bring some in. That's what Tech News Today does.
Ah.
They bring in ice cream sandwiches when they talk about it. I know because I was a guest on the show and I Skyped in and they did not mail me an ice cream sandwich.
You know, it should be like one of the, like the Captain Kangaroo where you know, where you can't do that on TV.
Yeah.
Where they just drop stuff from the ceiling.
Ice cream sandwich. I would have loved that.
Nice.
But let's get to the actual iOS 5 and what the updates are to the system. And now, you know, we don't tend to talk about operating systems that much on this show, although we've done a few. We did Windows 8, we did Mac OS 10 Lion.
We did Windows 7, and we did Snow Leopard before that, too.
Yeah, and we've also talked about
And we talked about Linux before.
I guess we do talk about operating systems a lot. It just seems weird. It seems weird to talk about the updates, right? But, you know, this is a big deal because the, you know, when the iPhone 4S was announced, the initial reaction to the iPhone 4S from what I saw online, now granted, this is just a sliver of the population of iPhone users, was one of, is that all? But I think the iOS 5 was in some ways even more important than the iPhone 4S. And there are some elements of the iPhone 4S that are pretty darn cool that tie into iOS 5. And you can only find it on the iPhone 4S.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's some tie in there. Keeping in mind that, up until then, we actually heard about iOS 5 at the Worldwide Developer Conference earlier in 2011.
Yeah. That was back in the, June?
Yeah. And basically, that's Apple's big developer conference where they talk to people who are writing software for generally both the operating system for these mobile devices and the Macintosh computer itself.
And sometimes for other devices like Apple TV.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for people who are not really following that world, it can be kind of dry. I think the same thing could probably be said for the Windows developer conferences and Google I.O. You know, this is not really a general – this is not generally where you expect to hear this kind of news.
Yeah. Occasionally you'll have crazies like myself or Chris log in and try and find a live blog and follow line by line as announcements are made because we actually find this stuff really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually it will become fascinating for the consumer who's really into tech.
Yeah.
But, you know, finding out about application programming interfaces, APIs, and things like
that. Software developer kits.
Yeah. I mean, it will eventually become relevant to the average person, but not necessarily
immediately. Right.
But they announced quite a bit about iOS 5 at that point. That's when we learned a lot about it. In the meantime, we heard a lot from the tech media about, because frankly, listeners sort of ask us to speculate on the new iPhone 5. And as it turned out, there wasn't one
yet.
But we did find out a lot about iOS 5 and a lot of the features, some of which had been out on other operating systems, such as Google's Android, and others which are sort of innovative.
Yeah. Now, one of the ones we've actually dedicated an entire podcast to, because iCloud ties into iOS 5, as well as Mac OS X Lion, as well as other elements. But we've already done a full episode on iCloud. So I don't think we really need to touch on iCloud that much, other than to say it's a cloud storage solution that allows you to put files into the cloud and access them across all your various Apple devices.
Yeah. Now, it's not for everyone, I should point out. And the iOS 5 is not for everyone. As a matter of fact, if you're running a Macintosh and you want to use iCloud, you have to be using the newest version, Mac OS 10.7, which is Lion.
Yeah.
But you can use on anything that will run iOS 5, you can do that, which is the last few iPhones, the last couple iOS, or I'm sorry, the iPod Touch, and both versions of the iPad.
Yeah.
And you can actually see that as soon as you update your device to iOS 5. My iPod Touch is a first generation, so it is not eligible. But I did update my iPad software to iOS 5. And the first thing that happens right after you update it is it starts to ask you questions about setting up the device. You know, it wants to know what your Apple ID is and whether or not you want to sync to iCloud. It will continue to, if you do agree to do that, it will sync your address book, your calendars, and a lot of other information to iCloud so that it can sync across, say I did have an iPod Touch or an iPhone, and I had updated my Mac to iOS Lion, OS X Lion, I would be able to sync all of that information without having to worry about, you know, plugging stuff in and syncing it device to device. It would sync it all from iCloud.
Yeah. And actually, we can touch on this just very briefly. There have been some criticisms about iOS 5 and iCloud. And I thought I'd just go ahead and and pipe up on one of them since we're talking about the subject already.
Okay.
I heard that apparently when you take photos and it uploads to iCloud, there's no way to delete them.
Oh.
So if you were to take a photo using your iPod Touch, let's say.
Okay.
So you've got an iPod. iPod Touches have cameras, right?
The newer ones.
Okay. So you can tell that I have an iPod Classic, people. So I am well behind, although I've got lots of music on it. So you take a photo with your iPod Touch, and it's got the iCloud feature in there, and it's you're on Wi-Fi, and it uploads to your iCloud. Now that photo is visible to all the other devices that are on that. So let's say that you're sharing devices with, your spouse. That could, you could end up having some problems there if you're taking photos of, like, you think this one thing that you're seeing is really funny and you want to send a photo to your best buddy, but your spouse might not find it as amusing as you do. Well, if you take the photo and it goes to the iCloud and you can't delete it, your spouse has access to that too. See, I'm being really delicate while I'm walking around this. I'm just saying that if there are a lot of people using the same sort of, iCloud, like a family or whatever, there could be potential problems. I'm sure that that will be addressed if it hasn't been addressed already.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a problem that I was alerted to. But let's talk about some of the features of iOS 5.
Okay.
I want to talk about this notification center. It sounds really interesting to me. So this notification center actually has a little thing of notifications when new technology, new information is coming into your iPhone. And I mean, this is something that's really, really phenomenal. I mean, I've only had this since 2007 on my Android phone.
I do smell snark. Well, and it's one of the things that I like on my Android phone. Now on iOS 5, if you have a device capable of doing that, you can pull down from the top of the screen. And when I say pull down, we're talking about putting your finger at the very edge of the screen where the menu bar is.
And swiping down,
and you can actually see the notifications. And it looks a little different. I'm showing Jonathan on my iPad now. It looks a little different. They have the gray linen background behind it. But it works very much like the Android operating system's exact same feature. Well, you could kind of expect that at this point. You know, they all
you could have kind of expected it back in 2007 or 2008, but Apple just implemented it.
Well, that's what I'm saying is they all kind of pick each other's good features and add them to subsequent releases.
What it reminds me of really is, and I'm picking on Apple a little bit about this, about being so late to the game and implementing something like this in their operating system. I'm picking on them. I mean, I'm glad that they've done it because it is a useful feature, and I'm glad that iPhone users and iPad users and iPod Touch users will be able to take advantage of it. That's great.
I like the feature a lot.
Yeah. The reason why I'm picking on them is it's reminding me a lot of how Apple was really slow to implement copy and paste.
Yeah.
Like,
or multitasking.
And these are very basic features that you see in other smartphones. And you wonder, like, the people who are Apple fans will say, I love Apple's products. I just don't understand why they have not done something similar to this other operating system that's been doing this for years.
Yeah.
And you would think there'd be a fairly simple solution. Now, we don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes or the motivations behind implementing versus not implementing certain features. There may be, and in fact, I wager there are very good reasons for the rollout being the way it has been. But still, from an outside perspective, it just seems a little ludicrous. So I couldn't help but poke just a touch of fun at Apple for that.
Well, a lot of the Android fans like to poke fun at Apple for doing that.
That being said, Apple's got a lot of features that Android does not support.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm fully aware of that, Apple fans, so you know.
I've also heard a lot of hooting about some of the bugs. There have been some problems installing iOS 5. Excuse me. I would actually add that I had trouble installing iOS 5 at first. It took me a couple tries before I actually got it to work. I think there may have been some attempts to sync with Apple servers, and I tried to install it on the first day, and I think that may have been part of it.
So it might have been a bandwidth issue. It might have just been that a lot of people were flooding Apple with requests to update the iOS. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. But
that seems fair.
With bugs and concerns like this, I feel that's kind of unfair. in a way.
It's a day zero thing. That's going to happen with any major rollout.
System.
Yeah, any operating system, and especially an operating system as popular as iOS 5, as iOS, I should say. Any operating system as popular as iOS, that seems to be magnified because you've got so many people trying to hit it at once that little problems that for a quote-unquote regular operating system would, you know, be noticed by a few people, but because the adoption rate wouldn't be so fast, it wouldn't so be concentrated on day zero so much, the company would have an opportunity to patch problems on a regular basis, and so the average consumer might not ever be aware that there were problems because, you know, there wasn't a rush to try and adopt the operating system as soon as it became available.
Yeah.
Apple's a rock star company. There are people who were staying awake until the wee hours of the morning, the first few hours of October 12th, 2011, which is when iOS 5 became available, just so that they could try and get the operating system as fast as possible. So I've heard about people, like I know some guys in Texas who were up till almost 3 a.m. trying to get it. So,
well, frankly, you know, I have an Android-based smartphone, and I would like to have Gingerbread on it. I still have Froyo, but I am waiting for my phone carrier to push that to me. I can't go get it. If I could go get it, I would have already had it.
Yeah. Well, and before anyone writes in, yes, we know that if you...
I could take it to the store and have them force it
on there. Or you could root your phone.
Or I could root my phone.
And get a ROM. But, you know, Chris and I, we both like our phones to work. We're funny that way.
Well, and that's the thing is I don't mind tinkering with it, but not to the point where... I break it and then I have to go, well, I wanted it to work.
Now I got
to
reset factory settings.
And
which, I mean, the nice thing is that it's really hard to truly break it, although you can. But anyway, let's get back to iOS 5 and talk some more. Oh, you were talking about, you know, did you have any other problems? Once you got through, was the installation process smooth for you?
Basically, the first step in doing this, if you are running iOS 4, you plug it into your computer and use iTunes to upgrade the system software. And it says, oh, I see there's an update available. Would you like to do this now? You say, yeah, sure. And it takes a while for it to download from Apple servers.
Mm-hmm.
And then what it tries to do is it's going to offer to sync your device with the computer first to make sure that you don't lose anything. That's going to come up again, too.
Yep.
Once it goes through that process, it attempts to write the software onto there. And I actually got stuck a couple times, to the point where it said there's an error. I cannot actually, install this software on here at this time. You know, give it a shot. And it actually said that it was having trouble syncing, once or twice too. It was one of those things where I think, it may have been a bandwidth thing.
Yeah.
It also may have been a watched pot sort of thing because I actually told it to go ahead and try it again. And then I went off to do something else going, well, you know, hopefully it'll do it this time. And I came back and it was almost done. Once it actually does install the software, then it reinstalls most, if not all, of your stuff. I didn't have any problems with it installing everything that I had on there, but I understand that there are people who have had apps missing and music missing.
Yeah, Tom Merritt of Tech News Today and This Week in Tech, when I was on his show, he mentioned that when he was updating to iOS 5, about half of his apps were missing when the installation was complete. And he was able to, you know, get the apps again, but he had to re-download them to his phone.
Right.
So, and he had to do it, I guess, manually because it didn't do it automatically. And all of his playlists were missing.
Yeah.
So he had created playlists on, and they were missing not just from his phone, but from iTunes. Like
wow.
They were gone.
So they were gone.
Yeah, the music was still there. It just wasn't arranged in the playlists. So.
Mm.
Yeah. So he had those issues. And we've heard of other issues as well through the installation process. But again, this is a day zero thing. And, you know, those kind of problems can occur. It's just that, you know, normally we wouldn't hear so much about it if it weren't for the fact that everyone's obsessed with getting it. Do you want to talk about some of the other features that iOS 5 has? I mean, I made fun of notifications just because I wanted to get that out of the way, but...
The notifications do look a lot nicer than they used to, and you have a lot more control over them. If you go into your device's system settings, you can actually control how your notifications show up.
Mm.
which is nice. Again, that's sort of a behind the scenes type of thing. You could sort the notifications, by time or manually if you prefer. There are a lot of other things that are sort of behind the scenes too, like the Twitter,
integration.
The Twitter integration. And This is not very exciting if you are already a Twitter user or you already have Twitter on your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod. But, we're talking about APIs again. This is going to enable people, the integration is going to enable people to build apps that will allow you to tweet directly from those apps.
Yeah.
Like the integration is much more fluid now than it was before.
Well, it's kind of like if you take a photo, now there's you're one touch away from sharing that photo on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Instead of having to, you know, maybe go through a couple of commands, it's really streamlined that, which seems kind of, it may seem trivial, but it does make a big difference when you're actually using these.
Mm-hmm.
And as I can attest, because I've had that where, you know, I had to go through and upload a photo from my phone to Twitter. And then eventually I had Twitter integration where I could take a photo and then choose at that moment to upload it to Twitter. And it makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Also, iOS 5 supports iMessage across devices besides just the iPhone.
Yes.
You can have iMessage on the iPod Touch and the iPad. So now, iMessage, of course, is Apple's instant messaging service.
Yeah, no, it only works with those iDevices.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, people have likened it to the BlackBerry Messenger service.
Yeah.
Where people who have BlackBerries can message people with other BlackBerries. I would say that people who complain about Apple's closed offness are probably going to complain about this feature too. But it does give you the opportunity to send text messages to other people who are using those devices, even if they're on a different network.
Yeah.
Without a penalty. So mm-hmm. Say you have three friends and all of you have iPhones. You don't have to pay for text messaging in addition to your data plan if you just want to send text messages to those three or four friends. As long as they're on an iDevice, you could share those messages without having to worry about that.
Yeah.
There's also the reminders feature, which is sort of a built-in to-do list.
Yep.
I've got a couple to-do programs on there. One of the to-dos is a personal bugbear for me. I have trouble getting myself to write stuff down in a particular place. So I've tried several different task managers trying to get me to develop a pattern and then make a habit out of writing stuff down.
Yeah.
The reminders feature is pretty pretty nice built-in to-do list that I haven't really tried yet. As we're speaking, iOS 5 has only been out for actually less than 48 hours.
Yep.
So I still haven't really gotten to see whether that one's a lot better. It seems to be kind of a low end. It doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
But it is built into the operating system now.
iOS 5 also supports some new functionality with the cameras involved in various Apple products that run on iOS.
Yes.
So now you can do things like with the iPhone, you can activate the camera from the lock screen.
Yeah, which is nice.
Although I imagine that also means we will ultimately end up with a lot more photos of the inside of people's pockets.
It is possible. The one nice thing about this is you might say, what's the big deal? You could hand your phone to a friend and they don't have to know your passcode to take a photo. Hey, wait. I'm going to jump up here and take a photo with a statue, you know, and you could just take the photo. And if somebody else gets hold of your phone, they might be able to take a photo, but they can't look at all the other photos on the phone.
It's also nice in that if you are in a situation where something is there's a cool photo opportunity that's not going to last very long, it removes some of the time that it would take you to
unlock
your phone and go to the camera app and start it up. But it also has other features. They're going to have, use grid lines so that you can align photos properly. Because, you know, if you're a photographer, you know there are certain tricks. Like you can align a photo to make it more attractive, as opposed to the way I take photos, where the subject of the photo is always dead center in the middle of the picture and there's nothing interesting going on ever. Because I am not a photographer. And that is abundantly clear when you look at the photos I've taken.
Well, they've also incorporated the ability to use some of the other buttons. The volume up button now becomes the shutter release, so you can use that rather than having to tap the screen. And, you know, you can pinch to zoom or pinch to shrink as you prefer.
Yeah.
On the screen.
Yeah, because when you move your fingers out, it's a reverse pinch to zoom. It doesn't – pinch to zoom doesn't make sense. I just – my brain's breaking right now. It just – I mean, if it were pinch to zoom, it would be opposite what you would I need a break.
You can also do red eye removal, do some basic photo editing like that, and crop and rotation, and organize photos into albums.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these are not this is not necessarily exciting, but it's nice functionality to add.
Yeah, it's stuff that it's stuff that just makes the features that much more easy to use, and
mm-hmm.
and really it may not be something that's evident necessarily to a new iPhone owner or iPod Touch owner or iPad owner, but it's those little things that just make those features much more useful.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, are you aware of the PC free feature?
Yes. And I tried to go get a PC free and they said I had to pay for it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that.
Oh.
You clearly did not read the description. You just thought that you were going to get a free computer. Sad trombone. No, PC free is a feature where you don't have to have a computer to use an iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch because, traditionally you would sync that device to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a feature that removes that step.
You can also sync your device wirelessly now.
Yep.
If you are syncing to a computer. The only trick is it's got to be plugged in. So once you, get your charger and plug it into the wall, then it should be able to sync wirelessly with a hub. So you have a computer that you are specifically using as your iHub.
Yeah.
Then it will do that, and you no longer have to plug it directly in to make that work, which is a nice feature.
There was a neat feature that I was telling Chris about that I had learned about just this morning,
mm-hmm.
Because not all the features are the ones that are being touted on Apple's page for iPhone, iOS 5. But one of them, which I thought was pretty interesting, was to create a custom vibration for particular contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, most phones just have a standard vibration setting so that they're going to vibrate in a particular pattern whenever a notification comes in. But with iOS 5, you can actually – this is particularly for iPhones because I don't think anything else vibrates. But you got an iPhone and you want to set up a specific notification – you can go into your contacts and you can choose a contact. So let's say that I want to set up a contact where whenever Chris calls me, my phone's going to vibrate in a particular pattern. I can go in to my settings on contacts and create a new vibration, and it creates a screen where I can just tap on the screen and the rhythm of the taps becomes the pattern of vibration. So, I might do shave and a haircut, and then I know it's Chris calling me automatically. I don't have to even look at my phone. I just feel dee, 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 dee. I'm like, oh, that's Chris. I'll just let that go to voicemail. So but that's the cool thing is I was like, wow, I never would have thought of that. And it's probably a feature that very few people are necessarily going to use, but it's one of those when I heard about it, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool in a dorky way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another, kind of cool, feature is the location based reminders.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can tell, the device to, remember to feed the cat when you get home. And it will, when you get home, send you a reminder at that time rather than just sending it at, 5 o'clock. Because, what if you get there? What if you're stuck in traffic? And so you don't get home until 5:30 and 5 o'clock, you get the notice. Oh, yeah, when I get home, I need to feed the cat. And then you get there at 5:30 and you've forgotten about it until your cat wakes up sniffing your ear, like, that smells good. I can eat that.
Right.
Since he's not going to feed me.
You wake up and your spouse is gone and your cat is purring and you're thinking, uh-oh.
There's a spouse-shaped
cat.
Spot in the cat's belly.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like that. Mistake. Should have looked at that to-do list one more time.
That's a nice feature. And it's not glamorous, I would consider a glamorous feature, but it's nice.
Well, let's talk about a feature that is pretty darn awesome because we're racking up some minutes here. So let's talk about Siri.
Okay. I was going to mention Newsstand, which is another sort of less than exciting one.
No. All right. Let's
because Siri is not available on all devices.
No. That's why I was saving it for last.
Okay. Newsstand. If you'll remember, back a couple years ago now, or a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that the iPad was supposed to help with was single-handedly saving the magazine industry, which may or may not have happened, depending on who you talk to, mostly not. However, a lot of magazines have embraced the iPad. And I've now that I've got a couple electronic magazines on it, I could say it is pretty useful for that. The thing is, a lot of publishers have individual apps for their magazines. So, you know, you might have one for Wired and one for Esquire, and you have all these different magazine applications, each with its own subscription and all these things. Well, Newsstand is designed to sort of look like iBooks. It's got a faux wooden shelf, environment. And basically Newsstand is supposed to display all of these. Now, again, this is an API that the developers for these apps can embrace and say, okay, well, as soon as a new issue comes up, we will display it in Newsstand. So Newsstand will launch the appropriate application, for an individual magazine, and it will display the cover of the most recent issue of all those magazines and bring them all into one place, which I imagine will encourage more publishers to embrace the iPad, which is, I'm sure, what Apple is trying to do. But it is useful. Now, one of the applications that I use for e-magazines still hasn't embraced the API yet. So the most recent issue I have in that one is not showing up, but I do see Wired in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty neat. And I think once more people begin to use that or embrace that API, it will be a more useful tool.
Now, can we talk about Siri?
Okay, go ahead and talk about Siri.
Siri is pretty frickin' awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Siri is really I used an Android phone, as we have mentioned several times in this podcast. Chris, mm-hmm. you have one as well.
Yeah, and people, again, the Android people were saying, oh, voice recognition. Well, I've had that.
Yeah, but it's more than just voice recognition.
Mine doesn't work like this.
Yeah, voice recognition is awesome. I mean, I can do things like call people. I can navigate mm-hmm. to places. I can search the web. I can do voice-to-text messages. I can do all those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it generally requires me to open up an application that already has that technology incorporated into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, using Google's voice recognition software in whatever the application is. Most of them happen to be made by Google. Mm-hmm. Not a big surprise. Siri is a little different. Siri is voice recognition, but it also has a natural language recognition element to it. Natural language recognition is tough.
It's very difficult, especially when you're talking about people with accents.
Yeah, well, accents or they use idiomatic speech or whatever, you know, it can be tricky trying to figure out the way, you know, a machine can have problems figuring out what a human wants just based upon natural speech. Siri is this technology that will listen to you and then take whatever it is you said and come up with a solution based on what it thinks you want. So you might say something like, you might hold down the home button, which is the way you activate Siri on an iPhone 4S. It's the only device
that's the
that
only
runs
device.
It
mm-hmm.
right now as of the recording of this podcast. And you might say, Siri, I'm hungry. Are there any good seafood restaurants nearby? And it might pull up a map and show you the location of seafood restaurants in relation to your location. Or you could say things like, Siri, do I need a jacket today? And it's going to look and see what the weather report is and come back and tell you whether or not you're going to need a jacket. And it's kind of neat. It does this for all sorts of different applications. So you might ask it a question and it'll bring back the relevant information, or it will initiate a search based upon that topic.
Yep.
So you might say something like, Siri, how many kilometers are in 27 miles? And it'll pulled that information directly from
Wolfram Alpha.
Yeah, so you'll get that information there. And this is pretty neat stuff. You know, you might think on the surface of it, well, that sounds interesting, but how useful is it? It's actually incredibly useful. I mean, and depending on how robust this device is or this technology is, it could be truly revolutionary.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing is that apparently the people who incorporated Siri into the iPhone 4S have a real sense of humor.
Yes, very much like, speaking of Wolfram Alpha, there are Easter eggs in
yes.
Siri, and people have been have been investigating that for the past few days. I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to look up some of these. Siri, by the way, is spelled S-I-R-I, if you're looking for that. I know that somebody has asked it to open the pod bay doors.
Yes, and there are several different answers to that, including, I'm sorry, but I can't do that right now. And
also, it uses your name.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Since the device is registered to a person, Siri will respond to requests with that person's name.
Mm-hmm.
But here are some other queries and responses.
Okay.
What are you wearing? Aluminosilicate glass and stainless steel. Nice, huh? Do you know HAL 9000? Everyone knows what happened to HAL. I'd rather not talk about it. There's of course, what's the meaning of life? And one of the answers that it'll give is 42.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that's, knock, knock. Have you seen that one?
No.
So knock, knock. And this is Siri's response. Knock, knock. Who's there? Joshua. Joshua who? Joshua? I don't do knock, knock jokes. There's another one where if you ask what's the meaning of life, it says I don't know, but I think there's an app for that. There's another one that says I can't answer that now, but give me some time to write a very long play in which nothing happens. But as an English major, that was my favorite. Let's see if I can find another one. Will you marry me? My end user licensing agreement does not cover marriage. My apologies. the people who designed this created some really fun ones. Oh, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? It depends on whether you are talking about African or European woodchucks. So Monty Python reference there.
Nice. That's very nice.
The personality that they have sort of given Siri is kind of fun. It's almost a little GLaDOS from Portal. In fact, I really hope there's some way for you to get Siri to say the cake is a lie. Or initiate it. Siri suddenly starts singing Still Alive. That would be awesome. But I love that not only is it a useful feature and it has some really cool implications for everything from voice recognition to artificial intelligence to a semantic web. I mean, these are all ideas that are tied up with the Siri application, but it also has like sense of humor. It's fantastic.
Well, it's obvious that as time wears on, the mobile operating systems are becoming much more functional, and they're turning the smartphone and other portable devices into tools that are just that much more useful for different people. I definitely want to get into Ice Cream Sandwich in an upcoming podcast because it's going to be useful for both the smartphone and the tablet running the operating system, the Android operating system. So
because people were very outspoken about Google splintering off Android so that you had a tablet version and a smartphone version. Yeah, I mean, Android's had a lot of criticisms directed its way about fragmentation because there's so many devices on the market and many of them are running various versions of Android and are incapable of running later versions, or the carriers just haven't pushed out the later version to the devices. And so you've got all these different versions of Android out there. So if you're developing applications for the Android platform, you have to make decisions like, well, how far down the Android path do I allow support, or do I just aim for the top tier?
Right.
And iOS is a little easier. And that's not to say that there aren't people out there who have older devices that can't run iOS 5. People do. Chris does.
Yep.
But it tends to be that with the Apple fans, they tend to upgrade more frequently, I think, than other device owners usually. I mean, Android is a little different. It's hard to be an Android owner in a way because 3 months after you get your phone, there may be a new Android phone from a different carrier or even the same one that has more features, right? But with Apple, it's a little more predictable. It's usually every 12 to 18 months.
Right, right. Plus, each individual carrier is different too.
Yeah.
Some carriers will push an Android update more quickly than others, if at all.
Yeah.
And you have, with the Android operating systems, I have an HTC-based phone, so I have HTC Sense as, the
overlay
on my phone, and not everyone else does. Right. So my flavor of Android is different from other people's flavor of Android.
Yep.
And I think that's also sort of part of what's behind these glitches, too, is, you know, once you've taken a device and personalized it, you know, it makes it more difficult for the people releasing the operating system to know that it's going to work with that particular cocktail of applications and configurations, which is why it's a little more predictable for Apple products than it is for machines running Windows or, you know, Android, because there are more variations in those.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, I think this was a good discussion about iOS 5. We'll definitely keep our eyes on further updates because, you know, it's...
5.1 will fix some of these problems.
Yep.
And may introduce more of their own. I mean, this... It's pretty common.
Yeah, it's not for these unusual. Things to happen. So we'll keep our eyes on it. If you guys want us to cover other specific topics, let us know. Shoot us an email. Our address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, or drop us a line on Twitter or Facebook. Our handle there is techstuffhsw, and Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.